coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, the All Share up close enough to 1%. As you can see, they're bolstered by the Industrial 25 space today. It trading 1.8% to the good. Financial 15 managing a 1.66% climb. The Resources 10 component, though, with that Rand strength filtering through, coming under pressure, sitting 0.5% lower. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the day's market activity, Nessie Chetty from Momentum. Thanks so much, Nessie, for joining us in studio this evening. So that, in a nutshell, the trading day that was. And of course, internationally, we've got, as I said, market focus still on Brexit. What kind of impact has this started to have? We started talking about last week a few of the UK property players that have certainly started feeling some of the ramifications.
Yeah, certainly, Alicia. I mean, it's a sort of crunch day for Theresa May. She'll speak to European leaders and try and engage them on getting an extension on Article 50. Remember, in terms of the original agreement, the UK was set to leave the European Union by the 12th of April. She'll look for an extension for maybe the 30th of June. But that's going to be an uphill battle. You're seeing the real economy suffer in the UK, and it's not just, I mean, industrial companies, but it's also companies, UK property companies. You see it, liquidations have increased, reinvestment is being channeled out of the UK, property values, especially in residential and retail, you've had write-downs, but it's the broader economy as well. There is some good news in the UK market. I mean, we saw a company like International News, which is a payment processing company, do a massive rights issue. Or capital raise. I mean, they raised close to about £1.1 billion, valuing the company at £2 billion. So, I mean, the capital markets are still functioning. So people still want to go to the UK and raise capital. But our market, I mean, quite a bit of cheer. I mean, equities up, I mean, industrial and financials up. But also, I mean, currency markets quite strong. A lot of them taking their direction from the ECB, which is will probably keep rates on hold. And then also, I mean, the inflation data coming out of the U.S. softer, with Trump still rallying for, you know, more aggressive tariff terms with not just China now, but now with the EU.
With all that uncertainty that's around, coupled with some of the dismal economic data that's been filtering through on the local economic scene as well, are you surprised at the kind of resilient stability that we're seeing in the currency and, you know, that driving it today below that 14 to the dollar mark?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the resources sector was down today, and that's probably a function of things like Sibanye, where there was a rights issue. So some performance impact there. But longer term, I think markets also being driven by expectations of what real returns are. So U.S. market's been strong for many years. Mm-hmm. You've had 10 years of, I mean, very strong tailwinds in terms of fiscal and monetary stimulus. A lot of those tailwinds are dissipating now, and you're seeing the growth trajectory come off the U.S. and therefore the pause in rates and maybe the next cut in rates probably down in the U.S. Our market probably needs a bit of a catch-up. I mean, we've had 3 or 4 years where equity returns have been dismal. If you look at things like just, I mean, real returns in terms of the next 5 years, probably for equity anywhere between 4 and 5%, but still below the long-term average. Bonds at a slightly lower level at 4%, and other sectors like property, where you had a massive fall off last year, probably looking for real returns of probably 6 to 7%. So you're seeing a lot of that filter into market performance, but also, I mean, softer performance from the US. I mean, you're getting big companies like JP Morgan and Wells Fargo that will report. Should be decent set of earnings numbers from those.
What do you do with the stronger rand, though? Because we've seen, you know, retailers gaining ground on the back of it, but you know, still a very big question mark hanging over that investment case that those retailers are putting on the table, given our strained economic performance.
Look, the operating environment is still very tough. I mean, the consumer is still under pressure. Levels of indebtedness are quite high. The Reserve Bank didn't increase rates, so there's a bit of maybe a stimulus in terms of short-term performance. But I mean, like-for-like growth for most of those retailers still exceptionally weak. I mean, they're battling to get inflation through in some of their product categories. So the level of earnings coming out, I mean, there have been massive disappointments, not just on the food side, but on the clothing side. And what you see in various sectors happening, I mean, companies either consolidating, looking to do rights issue, show up the balance sheet. In the property sector, what you're seeing things is consolidation happening as well. So through this market, I mean, companies are looking at this market in terms of opportunities and trying and strengthening the balance sheet for the next probably downturn or softer market.
You touched on Sibanye-Stillwater shoring up its balance sheet. I mean, we've seen that share price come under hefty pressure today after raising 1.7 billion rand in a book build exercise, a share placement. What have you made of its strategy and how it's garnering the flexibility it needs to, I guess, remain resilient in what is a very temperamental sector?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a number of risks building for the company. I mean, losses in its gold mining division, platinum sector, wage talks, strikes. The balance sheet net debt probably at the end of December was close to about 22 billion. And I think they're also positioning for low commodity prices as well. So the rights issue was quite large. The quantum was a lot, 1.8. And it was done at a discount to the underlying spot price of probably between 5 to 9%. But the reality is, I mean, if things get tough in the market and commodity prices come off, the reality is maybe they need to do a much more in terms of an equity issuance later down the line where the share is theoretically very cheaper.
Yeah. Looking at deals and transactions that are being done, Arrowhead and GemGrow, that merger announcement coming through, your analysis of that and what it means for GemGrow properties moving forward?
Look, the GemGrow essentially was owned by Arrowhead, so it's a 53% stake. This was a company that inception came onto the market with a portfolio of about 4 billion. They grew it to about 6, so they've been busy trying to improve the quality of the assets in there, trying to sell the smaller assets and move up the quality spectrum in there, so improve the yield on those properties. Now, what's happened within GemGrow is the recycling of assets has led to a stage where the portfolios look closer to what's now in Arrowhead, so better alignment between the two. I think investors at some stage have been unhappy with the liquidity profile of the company. So in a combined entity where you've got better balance sheet leverage and synergies, potential to do deals and also reduce debt over time. For GemGrow shareholders, what it also means is that in large companies is better cover for the A shares as well.
Yeah. And it's also the simplified group structure that I guess is more transparent at the end of the day as well. What's your stock pick right now?
Yeah, so I mean, we like a company called Emira. I mean, Emira's through the last couple of years done quite well to sell office assets and improve the quality. It's got a very exciting international strategy. They've partnered with a company called Rania, where they're looking at essentially shopping centers with a high category of food anchor in there. So on those type of deals, they're getting about 11% plus cash on cash return. If you look at the forward yield on Emira, quite attractive at about 11.5%. Mm-hmm. It's trading at probably 150 basis points higher or a discount to where the overall market is on the property side. So it's one we think has underperformed since the start of the year, but given where valuations are, very attractive with a strong management team.
So one to watch. Let's leave it there, Nessie. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Nessie Chetty is with Momentum. What's your stock pick right now?
Yeah, so I mean, we like a company called Emira. I mean, Emira's through the last couple of years done quite well to sell office assets and improve the quality. It's got a very exciting international strategy. They've partnered with a company called Rania, where they're looking at essentially shopping centers with a high category of food anchor in there. So on those type of deals, they're getting about 11% plus cash on cash return. If you look at the forward yield on Emira, quite attractive at about 11.5%. Mm-hmm. It's trading at probably 150 basis points higher or a discount to where the overall market is on the property side. So it's one we think has underperformed since the start of the year, but given where valuations are, very attractive with a strong management team.
So one to watch. Let's leave it there, Nessie. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Nessie Chetty is with Momentum.